You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the complex world of enterprise identity, securing legacy web apps at scale can be daunting. Strata Identity makes it simple. With Strata, you can effortlessly integrate non-standard apps with any identity service, like MFA or SSO, with zero coding and zero hassle. Designed by identity architects for identity architects, Strata works with every vendor, standard, and app architecture. This means your apps can now speak modern protocols and integrate seamlessly with your chosen identity services. From securing on-prem web apps to migrating away from outdated identity providers or consolidating them, Strata helps you keep your complex access policies as you modernize your identity infrastructure and get rid of technical debt. Join leading organizations like 3M, Dallas County, and CIBC in securing your apps with Strata. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your identity security priorities, and receive a complimentary pair of AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Connect today at strata.io/cyberwire. China denies involvement in the Australian Parliament hack. We've got some Patch Tuesday notes. A new strain of Schlayer malware is out. We've got a look at Grey Energy. Reactions are in to the destructive VF email attack. And thoughts on St. Valentine's Day with advice, admonition, and an excursus on credential stuffing and holiday donuts. From the CyberWire studios at DataTribe, I'm Dave Bittner with your CyberWire summary for Wednesday, February 13th, 2019. China has got around to officially denying it had anything to do with an attempted hack of parliament in Canberra. Beijing's foreign ministry says it's another move in a smear campaign. There's been no official attribution of the attack, and Australian investigators haven't been going out of their way to finger China. But China is now the usual suspect in such capers, and that's where industry and media have focused their speculation. Yesterday was Patch Tuesday. Microsoft released fixes for 76 vulnerabilities, 20 of which Redmond classified as critical. Adobe also patched, as is its custom, offering security updates for Flash Player, Acrobat Reader, and the Cold Fusion programming language, and the Creative Cloud desktop app. Microsoft's patches addressed Windows, Office, IE, Edge, the .NET Framework, Exchange Server, Visual Studio, and Team Foundation Server. They also offered fixes for Azure IoT SDK, Dynamics, and Flash Player. One of the fixes takes care of an Internet Explorer zero day that's been actively exploited in the wild. CVE-2019-0676 can, when exploited, allow an attacker to read files on a disk. The usual mode of infection is via a malicious website. Remember, too, that Microsoft would like you to understand that IE is not actually a browser, and you shouldn't be using it as one. We received some advice from Ivanti's Director of Product Management, Chris Godel, on what the sensible priorities should be for applying yesterday's patches. He says that the OS, browser, and Office updates should be high on the list. The Windows and IE patches are particularly important since the vulnerabilities they address are being actively exploited. He also recommends attending to Microsoft Exchange Server. The fixes address privilege escalation vulnerabilities that could give attackers admin rights. And Gottl recommends fixing the Adobe products Flash, Acrobat, and Reader. These are, as usual, being heavily targeted, and they amount to low-hanging fruit for crooks, skids, and others who dine out on such things. Security firm Carbon Black has found a new strain of Schlayer macOS malware first observed last year by Indego. This version of Schlayer, notable for both its obfuscation and its privilege escalation capabilities, has been downloaded from multiple sites. Its most common guise is that of a bogus Adobe Flash software update. Researchers at security firm ExtraHop recently had a run-in with a malicious Chrome extension downloaded from Google. Matt Cawthorn is Vice President of Pre-Sales Security Engineering at ExtraHop, and he joins us to share what they found.
There's a very popular API testing tool out there called Postman, and on the Google Web Store for Chrome, you can download a Chrome extension named Postman, ostensibly for helping test your APIs as you develop your code. And we had a few developers do that. Interestingly, we saw this sort of low and slow socket outbound. It was a web socket, plain text HTTP, web traffic, outbound to a public IP address on a suspicious looking port. And we sort of monitoring our own activities at ExtraHop as a security company. And we started to investigate this, and it got more and more suspicious as we looked into it. And sure enough, this particular, we were actually able to trace it back to this particular Chrome extension that had been installed on three laptops. We took them offline. We did the remediation. And we found that the thing was exfiltrating data. Specifically, it was exfiltrating URLs that the browser was traversing. Mm-hmm. For us, the impact, fortunately, it was contained and sort of responded to very, very quickly. But the impact is really self-evident because it's effectively a supply chain, like a software supply chain attack, where the developers who are chartered to develop code and get stuff done, they want to test their APIs. Postman is very established. It's very, very popular, super useful. On here, this malicious developer basically squatted on the name in the extension store in Google, was able to slip in malicious code under the sort of guise of using this Postman service. So it was really interesting. It wasn't particularly sophisticated, but I got to say it was quite clever because they got the clicks and, 27,000 of them actually. And they basically squatted on the name and they were able to inspect the stuff that we were doing in our browsers, which is pretty scary.
Yeah. Now, for the folks who went looking for the legit Postman extension in the store, what did they come across that fooled them?
So they originally did have a Chrome extension, which was subsequently pulled off in favor of, they have their Postman as a service now. They have their own installables. They have their own platform specific. You install a standalone application for Windows, for Mac, for whatever. Mm. So they pulled it off of the web store. This guy comes in and takes the name. He squats on the name after they pulled theirs down. And so it's basically like, domain squatting, basically on a defunct domain name. Extensions for Chrome, they're exposed to, they have access to kind of everything that happens in your browser. Mm-hmm. Now, there are some controls that Google tries to invoke with the manifest file. There's a file that sort of defines what the thing is able to do or whatever. But most users are not incentivized, A, or motivated, B, to scrutinize the behaviors of a given extension. They sort of trust the name of Google, which is about as ubiquitous as it gets. And so they install right from the official store, they install a plugin that happens to be doing bad stuff. It's a real challenge.
Now, obviously, the folks you have there working at ExtraHop are not rookies when it comes to this sort of stuff. And if you all could fall victim to this, I mean, what are your recommendations for folks to prevent this from happening in their own organization?
So we have a team of researchers, of threat researchers, and we do a lot of hunting internally for security reasons, obviously, as well as just research reasons. And these guys tracked it down very, very quickly, which was impressive. But the more I started looking into the big problem, think of this as like a software supply chain exploit, effectively. And so if you have a plugin that needs to reach out to the external world and you're an adversary, you're probably going to target, it's a wise bet at least, to get the clicks, to get the download, is to spoof yourself, to pretend you are an API integration of some sort, right? Some sort of testing tool. It's expected to reach to the outside world. And absent like close scrutiny, you expect the thing to be reaching out and talking to external things, potentially good or bad. And you might not think about the bad part. So what, from a recommendation perspective, there's a lot that goes on here. And the deeper you go into this, the software supply chain attacks, the scarier it becomes, frankly, because recommendation wise, you got to scrutinize it. And you have to be aware of the different tools, tactics, and procedures that they can invoke to bypass detection and to convert the click event, if you will, to get themselves installed. And here, the main vehicle, as unsophisticated as it was, like I said, it was quite clever, is they just squatted on a name that they knew was very popular, that they knew was going to be downloaded, at least by some, to get effective work done for the company as they wrote code.
That's Matt Cawthorn from ExtraHop. The ICS security specialists at Nozomi have published their research into gray energy, a strain of malware security firm ESET discovered in 2018. A successor to black energy, gray energy has been used against infrastructure targets in Ukraine and elsewhere. As its name suggests, although the malware has been deployed against several targets, gray energy's controllers have most famously used it against targets associated with power distribution. Nozomi points out a feature that tends to make the malware resistant to reverse engineering. It's surrounded by a lot of junk code. Obfuscation hinders observation. The malicious code has been examined, but analysis had to work through a lot of irrelevancy. The destructive attack VF email sustained Monday still looks like a motiveless hack. The email service is still trying to restore what it can, but most of its data appear to be gone for good. We heard from Vectra's head of security analytics, Chris Morales, who noted in an email that, quote, "This kind of destructive attack with no stated motive or demands is quite rare." Quote. Praveen Jain, CTO at Caverin, said that apparently motiveless attacks like this one underscore the importance of not only air-gapped backups, but of better employee training. And finally, tomorrow is St. Valentine's Day. You'd forgotten, hadn't you? You're welcome. Don't mention it. As you thrash around online in last-minute searches for gifts, tokens of esteem, or indeed for love itself, hoping to salvage the day, beware. The cyber criminals read the same calendar you do, and they're primed to take advantage of any 11th-hour desperation. Be especially wary of online offers of chocolate, cards, flowers, and so forth. Hackers speak the language of love, but they do so with a serpent's tongue. So by all means, express your love. You'd better express your love, or significant others will know the reason why. But express it with the seemly circumspection a civilized person uses online. For example, no below-the-belt selfies, if you please, Senor Danger. Those are quite simply uncalled for, and in any case, don't argue for a mature understanding of matters of the heart. While we know the heart has its reasons, of which reason knows nothing, on selfies the heart and the brain are of one mind. Inclinations to the contrary come from elsewhere, perhaps the spleen, or better yet, from one of those AIs we keep hearing about. And no buying off-brand candy or using floral gifts from dodgy sites. If the email invite says something along the lines of, "Greetings of the day, fellow youth. We are to be offering to you the most esteemed and bestest values of the Valentine." Well, then tell the shadow brokers to call you back on some other holiday. We don't know, maybe VJ Day. It's a favorite up Rhode Island way. You've probably considered the donut as a love token. These, as you know, are widely exchanged and appreciated in the hacking and InfoSec communities. If so, then be advised that Dunkin' Donuts is offering a Valentine's special, a bouquet of donuts so arranged as to look a bit like a floral arrangement, just the thing to carry back to your inamorata's keyboard demure. And also be advised that Dunkin' Donuts is looking out for you. Their DD Perks rewards program hasn't been hacked, but a lot of its members apparently reuse their passwords. If you're one of those, Dunkin' Donuts advises you to stop doing so and to change your password. They've found that someone's targeting their customers in credential stuffing attacks. So stuff the donuts, not credentials.
And
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its zero-trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust Plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zero-trust-AI. And I'm pleased to be joined once again by Dr. Charles Clancy. He's the director of the Hume Center for National Security and Technology at Virginia Tech. Dr. Clancy, great to have you back again. We saw a story come by about some work that the Pentagon had been working on. This is using artificial intelligence to do a better job with an ever-tightening RF spectrum availability. And it was something called the Spectrum Collaboration Challenge. What was going on here?
The Spectrum Collaboration Challenge is a program that was launched by the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, or DARPA. Typically, DARPA has programs where they will put $30 to $50 million into developing a specific technology or demonstrate a particular new capability. But in this case, instead of just giving all the money to a handful of companies or universities, they actually decided to have a competition where they offer prizes, similar to some of the other challenges they've done in the past around unmanned vehicles or around cyber. And this one was really focused on how AI-enabled wireless systems could really more effectively communicate in not only a crowded spectrum, but also a contested spectrum where you might have adversarial components seeking to disrupt your ability to communicate.
Huh. Now, one of the things they noted in this article was that this was the first time they saw autonomous collaboration outperforming manual human-driven attempts to optimize spectrum.
Exactly. So historically, spectrum planners have decided what channels should be used by different systems in order to minimize interference, and it's all been a very static plan. And that works well because you're divvying up the spectrum, but it leads to inefficiencies. In fact, many DoD bands are only about 30% occupied, even at their peak times, just because of all of the buffers and guards that are needed in order to make sure that signals don't bump into each other. If you want to get above that 30% and be more efficient in the use of the spectrum, then you really need dynamic reactive systems that can identify where the holes are and coordinate among each other to identify who should communicate where and when. And this decentralized autonomy is particularly challenging because if you can imagine military spectrum, you could have links from aircraft to ships. You could have radar systems. You could have all kinds of different things that use the electromagnetic spectrum and do so in very incompatible ways. So the ability for all of them to really choreograph themselves to achieve higher efficiencies is really impressive.
Yeah, another thing that struck me from this article was they mentioned that the military is in the process of turning over up to 500 megahertz of spectrum to the private sector in the next couple of years. And I suppose, I mean, that's an ongoing tension between the military's need for that spectrum, but the real hunger for that spectrum on the commercial side.
Exactly. The military has a lot of spectrum that they use. They don't use it very often, but when they do use it, it's really important. One example that's part of that 500 megahertz is 150 megahertz that sits at 3.5 gigahertz. And over the last 2 years, the Federal Communications Commission, or FCC, has gone through a rulemaking process to establish what's called the Citizens Broadband Radio Service, or CBRS. And this is a band where commercial broadband service and enterprise broadband will actually coexist in the same channels as Navy radar systems. And there's a whole sensor network that's being deployed along the U.S. coastline, specifically designed to detect when those Navy ships are operating their radars. And when those radars are on, it actually sends signals to all of the broadband systems to reconfigure and move into different bands. But this whole concept of spectrum sharing is really key to opening up new bands, really to enable advanced 4G service and a lot of the new 5G also targeting these new frequency bands.
Dr. Charles Clancy, thanks for joining us.
Thanks a lot.
Don't struggle to align your organization's cybersecurity with business risk. Get the only solution that goes beyond reacting to threats with vulnerability and risk monitoring. You need the next evolution of MDR, and only Critical Start delivers it. Critical Start doesn't just monitor and respond to threats. They put you in control by detecting suspicious activities, quickly responding to contain threats, and identifying your most critical assets and protecting them against vulnerabilities and exposures. With continuous visibility, expert guidance, and measurable risk reduction, Critical Start has redefined what it means to manage cyber risk. Demonstrate provable security maturity to your leadership while positioning your program to achieve the greatest risk reduction per dollar spent. Stop fearing risk and start managing it with Critical Start. Visit CriticalStart.com and request a demo today. That's CriticalStart.com. And that's the CyberWire. For links to all of today's stories, check out our daily briefing at thecyberwire.com. And for professionals and cybersecurity leaders who want to stay abreast of this rapidly evolving field, sign up for CyberWire Pro. It'll save you time and keep you informed. Listen for us on your Alexa smart speaker, too. The CyberWire podcast is proudly produced in Maryland out of the startup studios of Data Tribe, where they're co-building the next generation of cybersecurity teams and technologies. Our amazing CyberWire team is Elliot Peltzman, Puru Prakash, Stefan Vaziri, Kelsey Bond, Tim Nodar, Joe Kerrigan, Carol Terrio, Ben Yellen, Nick Vilecki, Gina Johnson, Bennett Moe, Chris Russell, John Petrick, Jennifer Iben, Rick Howard, Peter Kilpe, and I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here tomorrow. And now a word from our sponsor, SpyCloud, the leader in operationalizing cybercrime analytics. Traditional threat intelligence is a thing of the past. Cyber criminals are stealing vast amounts of credentials, session cookies, and financial data every day, and it's hard to keep up. SpyCloud is the trusted partner businesses turn to fully understand their darknet exposure risk and neutralize threats before it's too late. SpyCloud alerts your organization as soon as an employee or customer's data appears on the dark net, so you can act faster than bad actors to prevent cyber attacks like ransomware, session hijacking, account takeover, and online fraud. With insights from the industry's largest repository of recaptured data, protect the digital identities and systems most important to your business. Get your free corporate darknet exposure report at spycloud.com/cyberwire and see what information criminals have in their hands today. That's spycloud.com/cyberwire.